From Quality Radio Productions, it's the Upstate Radio Theater. I'm Jake Longwell. We'll open the hour with a real treat for all you jazz fans. In 1960, Armed Forces Radio produced an outstanding series called This Is Jazz, featuring live performances from the first Playboy Jazz Festival in Chicago. We'll listen to program number 5 in the series, released for broadcast January 29, 1960, featuring the Dizzy Gillespie Quintet.
Stadium, Chicago, Illinois. The first Playboy Jazz Festival. This is jazz! Yes, it's jazz from Chicago. Recorded live at the first Playboy Jazz Festival in stereophonic, high-fidelity sound, especially for this radio network. You'll be hearing the complete performances of your favorite jazz artists. This is what is happening in Chicago. This is jazz! Yes, it's jazz once again, and it's so nice to have you with us. This is Specialist Bob Caliban speaking directly from the Chicago Stadium here in Chicago, Illinois. And if you could just hear that introduction, it was to the Dizzy Gillespie Quintet, and we're going to be having all of the performance that we're having here in Chicago, Illinois. All the boys are coming out on stage right now, so what do you say we go downstairs for the Dizzy Gillespie Quintet?
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
There you are. For the past 30 minutes, you've been listening to the great Dizzy Gillespie Quintet, recorded live at the first Playboy Jazz Festival in Chicago. And we'd like to gratefully acknowledge the cooperation of the Sheldon Recording Studios Incorporated for the use of equipment and technical supervision. Be sure to listen in next week for Ahmad Jamal. Be with us again when This Is Jazz. This program was produced by the Audiovisual Branch, Headquarters 5th United States Army, under the direction of Specialist Sid Bozarth, produced by Neil Fontaine. Your engineer has been Specialist Jack Weiner, and your announcer, Specialist Bob Caliban. This has been a recorded program from Chicago.
It's the Upstate Radio Theater. I'm Jake Longwell. Up next, we have music and comedy with the Eddie Cantor Show. Throughout radio's golden age, Eddie Cantor hosted many different programs with many different sponsors. This is an episode of his show sponsored by the Pabst Brewing Company. From November 6, 1947 on NBC, Eddie gets a threatening letter.
Is this the Beverly Hills Police Station?
Yes, Sergeant Mulvaney speaking.
Sergeant, this is Eddie Cantor.
Yes, Mr. Cantor?
I got a letter. Somebody threatened to kill me. What should I do?
Move to Glendale. We don't allow any murders in Beverly Hills.
Look, I'm a citizen of Beverly Hills. I own property in Beverly Hills, pay taxes in Beverly Hills. I got a right to be murdered in Beverly Hills. I demand protection. I'm a big radio star. You've got to find out who sent me the threatening letter.
And Mr. Cantor, how many people listen to your program?
About 15 million.
That's amazing.
That so many people listen to me?
No, that you only got one threatening letter.
Sergeant, my life is in danger.
We can't be bothered. There's a sneak thief on the loose here in Beverly Hills. Jack Benny's toupee has been stolen, and so is Dorothy Lamour's sarong.
Well, that's ridiculous. Anybody who could use Jack Benny's toupee wouldn't need Dorothy Lamour's. Look, you've got to send over a policeman to protect my life.
A policeman? Mr. Cantor, Beverly Hills is the best protected community in the United States.
I know.
We need our men for more important things.
But my life...
Excuse me, my other phone is ringing. Hello? Lana Turner. What, your Pekingese is missing? We'll send a squad out to look for her to meet. Goodbye.
What is this? You can't send a policeman to save my life, but you send a squad for a Pekingese?
Mr. Cantor, the people of Beverly Hills like to have pets. If we don't take care of them, the next thing you know, they'll be having children.
Look, at what I've got around my house is not termites. Look, my life has been...
Mr. Cantor, the dogs of Beverly Hills must be protected. Goodbye. Hello? Who's this?
A cocker spaniel.
Please send a policeman. Oh!
Beer proudly presents
the Eddie Cantor Pabst Blue Ribbon Show.
Yeah, wait a minute. What show? Eddie Cantor isn't even here yet. He's so busy running for president, he's probably down at some...
Hey, yeah? Lock the door.
Why?
Close the windows. Pull down the shades. Where can I hide?
Eddie Cantor.
You're shaking like a leaf. You're shaking all over. What's the matter?
Harry, my life has been threatened. Somebody's going to kill me. They're going to drag me into some dark alley, beat me up, choke me, stab me, and then they'll riddle my body with bullets, put me in a barrel of cement, and dump me in the lake.
Eddie?
Yes?
What else is new?
Harry, you can joke all you want to, but where were you when I got this note?
What?
I tried to get in touch with you.
Eddie, I was at the Palladium.
Fine, you're at the Palladium. You don't care what happens
now,
to me.
Now, don't say that.
You don't care what happens.
Don't say that I don't care what happens to you. You know what I think of you. I'd do anything for you. I'd climb the highest mountain. I'd swim the deepest river.
Fine, I'm getting killed. He's out hiking and swimming.
What are you so excited about?
What am I excited about?
Listen, haven't you ever been threatened before?
Yes, once.
Well, all right, what happened?
So Ida and I got married.
I think you are upset about?
Sure I'm upset.
You're not serious about
it. I am serious about it. I got a threatening letter.
Oh, Eddie, now listen, you've got to take care of yourself. If anything ever happened to you, I don't know what I'd do.
You wouldn't, Harry, honestly?
Well, no, I wouldn't. I'd go out of my mind. I'd be desperate.
Really?
Well, certainly. Where else am I going to find a job in the middle of the season?
He's thinking of a job, always himself.
Well?
You don't seem to realize how serious this is. Look at this letter I got.
What does it say?
Eddie Cantor, if you want to live, don't run for president.
Well, Eddie, somebody doesn't want you to be president. That note must be from one of your political opponents.
That's what I think, Harry. I suspect Dewey.
Dewey?
Yes, yes.
Why?
Did you see those campaign pictures of him milking a cow?
Yeah.
Well, a guy who would do that would pull anything.
No. Dewey wouldn't do a thing.
Well, somebody
like that.
Did it, Harry, well, and I'm getting off the stage. It's not safe. I'm not safe here.
Why do you say that?
Look at that audience. Look at them. Any one of them could be a killer.
Oh.
Get a load of that man in the first row over there.
Well,
that
Eddie.
Low forehead.
Eddie.
Those close-set eyes. That receding chin.
Look.
That man is definitely a criminal type, Harry.
That is the man who writes your script.
Well, Harry, the only way I'll stay here is to convince myself that there are no hidden weapons in the studio.
Oh, Eddie, now how are you going to do that?
We'll search the audience. I'll start by searching that brunette in the first row.
Oh, no, here. Eddie, now, don't be silly. A pretty girl like that would never be carrying a gun.
Harry, you search for what you like, and I'll search for what I like.
Oh, no. Eddie, now, please. There's only one thing to do in this case. Call in a detective. Here, dial this number.
All right. I'll get the best detective they've got.
Yeah.
A man who can track down any criminal. Somebody who's a human bloodhound.
How do you do?
Russian, you are an investigator?
Kemper?
Yes?
I am the world's greatest defective.
Defective?
Mm-hmm.
Defective means of inferior quality, slightly damaged, and never worked.
How do you do?
I refuse to believe you were ever a detective.
Sorry, you have cut me to the quick, if not sooner. Therefore, I started my career as a special investigator for Mr. District Attorney.
What did you investigate?
Mrs. District Attorney.
Look, Russian, my life has been threatened. I want you to come over to help me.
I cannot come myself.
Why?
I am having a very important conference with the police department.
Oh, you're on a case.
No, I have to report to my parole board.
You must be kidding. Look, will you please send a detective over immediately? I'm at NBC.
NBC? I'll write that down. Yeah. Say, Kemper.
Yes?
How do you spell NBC?
Oh, send a detective over, will you?
I can just imagine the type of detective.
Oh, too. Mr. Cantor, what's all this about a detective?
Why, it's C.C. Blake.
Hello, Cece. You didn't hear what's happened.
No.
Somebody's threatened Eddie's life.
Oh, that's terrible. Threatening your life? Oh, Mr. Cantor, if anything should happen to you, I wouldn't know what to do. Life wouldn't be worth living. I'd go mad, do you hear me? Start raving mad.
Cece, I didn't know you cared.
Well, I don't. I just wanted to prove I can act as well as sing.
Go ahead, sing. Cookie?
Get your veil and get your duster. Get the yen for goggles when the wind's a guster. Keep your hovered gown firmly belted down when you're out in your Stanley steamer. In a gale, we never fluster, 'cause we're told we get that old familiar luster. If you're dressed in style, everyone will smile when you're out in your Stanley steamer. Honk, 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 honk. The donkey used to have his charm, but he's looking at us with alarm, 'cause it looks like he's back to the farm. But if you fail with your combustor, then your speed is gonna need a new adjuster. And we wanna ride inside of the latest motor deal. Wanna sit behind the wheel of the Stanley Steamer. With the man in the Stanley Steamer. In your Stanley Steamer. Your Stanley Steamer automobile.
Harry Von Zell, the detective isn't here yet.
No, well...
Are you sure that detective agency is reliable to Mad Russian?
Oh, yes, of course. That's the agency that Pabst Blue Ribbon used.
When did Pabst need a detective?
You don't know the famous case of the missing brews?
The case of the missing brew? What was that, Harry?
Oh, well, Eddie, you know how Pabst Blue Ribbon beer always contains never less than 33 fine brews blended into one great beer.
Yes, I know that, yes.
Yeah, well... One day, somebody opened a bottle of Pabst beer, and it contained only 32 brews.
That was awful.
Yeah, they didn't know what to do.
What did they do? Terrible.
Well, they called in this detective. He locked the doors at once, locked the doors of the brewery. Then he started searching for the missing brew. It was a crisis.
This is very interesting, if it's not a commercial.
Really, never in Pabst's 103 years' experience with skillful yeasting, expert carbonation, careful mashing, had anything like this ever happened. He searched everywhere for the missing brew. He even climbed into a beer cake.
He was trying to get to the bottom of it.
It was a tremendous problem, but finally... The detective narrowed it down to the brewmaster.
Yes.
He was a genius in the art of brewing and the science of blending. He was an expert at producing that evenness of quality for which Pabst Blue Ribbon beer is so famous. And he was the culprit.
You mean he had stolen the missing brew?
No.
No?
No. There were 33 brews there all the time.
Well, what happened, huh?
Well, you see, this fellow was great at making beer. He just didn't know how to count.
Who likes this, Warwick and Legler? Go ahead.
They never will have that trouble again, Eddie. The Pabst people bought him an adding machine, and now when you buy Pabst Blue Ribbon beer, you can always be sure it contains never less than...
33 fine brews blended into one great beer. 32 fine brews.
Yeah?
Somebody's knocking at the door.
Well, don't get nervous. It must be the detective, Eddie. I'll let him in.
Oh, I guess you're the detective that works for the Mad Russian?
Where is the cook?
Well, you don't understand. I got a threatening letter that says...
Where is the cook?
Please, the letter said that if I want to live, I shouldn't run for president, so I called up...
Where is the cook?
I'm Eddie Cantor.
The case is solved. You are the cook.
Oh, no.
Eddie, I'm not sure this guy is a detective at all.
No?
Now, listen, you. Have you got any credentials to prove that you're a detective?
Oh, of course. My badge number is 674-2098-530570. Is that my social security number? No, my social security number is 2604-350870. Or is that the number on my driver's license? The number on my driver's license is 0-2-6-4-8-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-
No, no. Take a look at this threatening letter that I got.
Let me see.
If you want to live, don't run for president. It's very peculiar handwriting.
Why?
It's typewritten.
Look, Mushmouth, look, look. This is a matter of life and death, and I don't think you're a good enough detective to trust with this case.
Oh, I'm a great detective. The other night, I followed a suspect to the Palladium. I disguised myself as a woman. Oh, you should have seen me. I was wearing a green hat with red feathers.
Wait a minute, a green hat? Huh? Were you wearing a red dress with a lace collar?
Yes.
You were carrying a blue pocketbook with a silver clasp?
Yes.
Sarah, give me back my engagement ring.
Look.
Huh?
Why don't you go out and look for clues and leave me alone, huh?
Okay. If you need me, Mr. Kander, call me at home. I get so excited when I get a phone call.
Yeah? Why?
I haven't got a phone.
Get out, will you, please?
Now, that is some detective.
Yeah, that's some... I heard about him. He once followed a set of footprints for half a block before he found out he was in the lobby of Grauman's Chinese. I know the man. Look, Harry, I'm in just as much danger as I was before.
Well, I know, Eddie.
At any moment, I may be... Harry, who can that be?
Well, let's find out. Come in.
Is Eddie Cantor here?
Eddie Cantor? What do you want with him?
I want to give him what's coming to him.
My number four.
You do?
Sure. As soon as I find him, I'm going to let him have it.
Let him have it?
Which one of you is Eddie Cantor?
I'm not. Not me.
Then you must be...
Mal Jolson. Yeah, Mammy. That's what I am. I don't know how you got the ticket, but it's so hard to get my show. California, here I come, Memphis.
You don't look like Al Jolson to me.
You ain't heard that? I don't?
No. You're much too old.
Oh, I'm Al Jolson. That's me. That's Al.
You don't sound like Jolson.
Oh, you ain't heard nothing yet. I'm sitting on top of the world. I'm rolling along, just rolling along. And I'm quitting the blues of the world. I'm singing a song, just singing a song. Glory, hallelujah, I just phoned the parson. Said, Pop, you're ready to call? Yeah. Just like Humpty Dumpty, I'm going to fall. And I'm sitting on top of the world. I'm rolling along, just rolling along.
Nothing yet. Now do you believe that I'm Al Jolson? Look at me. Am I Jolson to you? Am I?
Yeah.
Am I?
Gee, Mr. Jolson, you sure have a lot of talent.
Yeah.
Why, compared to you, Cantor is a bum. Don't you think so, Al?
Yeah, don't you think so, Al?
Wait a second. There's something fishy here. According to that sign, this is the Eddie Cantor Show. So Cantor must be here. Now, I got a little matter to settle with him. Which one of you is he?
Have you ever seen Eddie Cantor before?
No.
That's him over there, the fat guy.
Wait a minute. Hold on, me.
I'm Mr. Cantor.
Oh, he...
I'm from the Treasury Department. You overpaid on your income tax. Here's a check for $16,000. So long, Mr. Cantor.
Thank you. So long.
Bye, Al.
All right, Harry. A check. Give it to me.
What'd you say, Al?
Come on, Harry. I'm sorry. I'm not Al Jolson.
You're sorry. How do you think these people in the audience... No, I'm not going to give you the check, Eddie.
Now, Harry, for the last time...
Detective Sherlock Holmes touches on the case of poison. Don't anybody move.
What?
Don't anybody move.
Why not?
You can't find an apartment.
Russian, tell me, please. I'm in danger. Are you really a detective?
But of course. But of course. I've just come from solving my biggest murder case.
Tell me about it.
You see?
Yes?
I went to the scene of the crime. There I found the corpus delicatessen.
No. You mean corpus delicti?
No, delicatessen. He was stabbed to death with a sharp salami.
Then what happened?
I took the body, straightened his tie, brushed his coat, tucked in his shirt, and combed his hair.
Why did you do all that?
Just because you're dead, you gotta be sloppy.
Please listen to me, I beg of you.
Yeah?
My life has been threatened.
That's nice.
How are you going to track down the person who sent me the letter?
I will call my bloodhound. I will say to him, Pussy!
You call your bloodhound Pussy?
His name is Meyer.
All right. What do you do with the bloodhound?
We are dashing pell-mell after the criminal.
Yes.
The dog is going sniff, 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 sniff.
He found a scent.
No, he's got a cold. Suddenly, my bloodhound is acting very technical.
Yes.
His tail is standing at attention. He barks. Arf, 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 arf. Ouch.
What happened?
He bit me.
Russian, please. What about this threatening letter I got?
Jennifer, when did you receive this letter?
Last Monday, while I was having dinner.
How can you be sure it was Monday?
I was eating three-day-old fish.
That's very funny.
What? What's very funny?
Just because you're dead, you got to be sloppy. I like your writer.
Russian, it's obvious that you'll never find out who sent me that threatening letter. And meanwhile, I may be killed. What I need is a bodyguard.
My agency will supply one for you. With our bodyguard, we guarantee that nothing will happen to you.
But what if I'm killed?
You and the guarantee expire together.
Oh, Russian, get out. I'll get a bodyguard.
I don't know whether he can help you, but I think I know where you can get a bodyguard.
You do, Harry? Where?
In the Pabst Blue Ribbon breweries. No, I'm serious. You see, that's where they guard the body of Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Oh.
And the purity and the flavor and the quality. Yes, for 103 years, Pabst has been guarding that clean, mellow, delicious taste by scrupulous care in the art of brewing. And now, they've perfected a method of keeping that famous Pabst Blue Ribbon flavor ever faithful, year in, year out, by a process known as the science of blending. For it's the skillful blending of never less than 33 fine brews that makes every foaming glassful of Pabst Blue Ribbon taste exactly the same. Not too heavy, not too light, with that real beer flavor coming through the way you like it. It's the art of brewing plus the science of blending that has made millions the world over settle down to blended, splendid Pabst Blue Ribbon.
33 fine brews blended into one great beer. 33.
Say, wait a minute, Eddie.
Yeah.
Where are you going with that valise?
Forget the bodyguard, Harry. I'm leaving for Africa.
Yeah.
Maybe there I'll be safe.
Africa? Don't be ridiculous, Eddie. A guy like you could never stand being away from civilization.
This is civilization? Harry, at the United Nations conference, I met an African native. And you should hear what he said about civilization.
Why? What did he say?
Bongo, 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 I don't want to leave the Congo. Oh, no, 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 no. Bingo, bango, bungle, I'm so happy in the jungle, I refuse to go. Don't want high prices, taxes, housing, shortage, worry and fear. So no matter how they coax me, I'll stay right here.
Yes, 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 we'll stay right here. A missionary appetite with me on sight.
Madman Munch.
He tell the native population that civilization is fine.
903.
And some educated savages holler from a bamboo tree.
Are you a member of the Screenwriters Guild?
That civilization is the thing for me to see.
Oh, bongo, 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 why the wongo leads the congo? Oh, no, 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 no.
No, 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 no.
Bingo, bongo, bongo, I'm so happy in the jungle, I refuse to go. Don't want no crazy auto driver knocking me on my ears. Life is safer in the jungle, I'll stay right here.
Yes, 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 we'll stay right here.
They have things like the atom bomb, so I think I'll stay where I am. Civilization.
No, 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 we'll stay right here.
Down in the jungle. See what I mean, Harry?
Yeah, I'm
leaving for the Congo. Around here, my life isn't worth...
Is Eddie Cantor here?
Eddie Cantor, what do you want with him?
I want to give him what's coming to him.
Oh. Harry, another check. This time I'm going to get it myself. You've got something for Eddie Cantor?
Yeah. I want to let him have it.
I'm Cantor. Go ahead, let me have it.
This guy is actually asking for it. You realize who I am?
You're from the government?
Yeah, by way of Alcatraz.
Alcatraz?
Yeah. This thing I got in my hand's a heater. And it ain't gaping.
Harry, he's got a heater and it ain't Gabriel.
Oh, yes, there's bad news tonight.
Come on, Cantor. We're going for a little ride.
Yeah, but I don't...
Get going! And you crumbs in the audience, keep quiet. Don't make a sound. If anybody so much as applauds, it's the end of Cantor.
I'm such friends, I'm better off with him.
Shut up! Now get going!
I'm going.
Get going!
Eddie, wait. Don't take him away. Hey, mister, listen, we can't...
He's gone.
Oh.
Eddie's... This is awful. The star of the show is gone. Who can take his place? What are we going to do? Who's going to be the star of the show?
Mr. Barzell, what's going to happen next week when those two great boxing champions, Max Baer and Slapsy Maxie Rosenblum, come to visit us?
Yeah, well, not only that, Cece, but World War II's most decorated hero, Audie Murphy, will be here, too. And say, friends, that reminds me, and this is a very serious thought that I wish you'd pay attention to, because every Christmas, in cooperation with 6,000 department stores and the National Retail Dry Goods Association, Eddie Cantor tries to make sure that no disabled war veteran faces a giftless Christmas. Here's how it works. When doing your Christmas shopping, you buy an extra gift and ask the clerk to deliver it for you. Then disabled American veterans, the American Legion and its auxiliaries, will pick up the gifts and distribute them in the hospital wards. Let's remember that these are the men who gave us the gift of freedom. Let's show them our appreciation. Give a gift to a Yank who gave.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know just
Harry,
which...
Harry.
Eddie, you're back. How did you get away from that guy?
While he was taking me away, we passed the movie where they were showing Forever Amber, and I went in.
Well, didn't he follow you?
No, he already saw the picture. But I know he'll be back after me. My life is... That's him. I'm getting out of here.
Wait a minute, Eddie. You've got to finish the program.
There.
I hope I spend next Thursday with you. This may be the end. I hope I'm not through.
Will the gangster knock off Eddie Cantor? Will Ida inherit all of Eddie's money? I wonder if Ida likes me. I wonder if I can learn to roll my eyes the way he can. The Friends, this program is brought to you by the Fast Brewery Company of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Newark, New Jersey, and Peoria, Illinois. Written by Jay Summers and Jess Goldstein. Produced and directed by Vic Knight. And sent your way with the best wishes of the Pabst Blue Ribbon dealers from coast to coast.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
And with that episode of the Eddie Cantor Show, we've come to the end of this hour of the program. I'm Jake Longwell. If you want to get in touch, the email address is qualityradioproductions@gmail.com. And the blog and website is qualityradioproductions.blogspot.com. This has been show number 1715. Please join me again soon for another hour of sounds from the golden age of radio. The Upstate Radio Theater is distributed by Quality Radio Productions.